Hi, my name is Johnny Hearn. I played a peasant in one episode of Alolo in the final series. It was only named as peasant. I think it's peasant number two, male peasant number three. I can't remember which one, but that was my official role, was peasant in one episode. I actually didn't do it the normal way. I didn't have to audition for this. There were three peasants in the scene, and one of them was played by a guy who was my agent at the time. And for some reason, I don't know how, I think he must have known one of the producers or known somebody associated with Alolo. They just said to him, look, we have these three characters, different ages. Look, they got a couple of lines each. Just cast them whoever you want. And he just phoned me up and said, you know, do you want to be in Alolo? And I was, you know, like 20 years old, and I'd grown up watching this series. My parents were obsessed by it. They loved it, and, you know, still do. And, you know, I'd grown up watching all of the, you know, the Croft and Perry sitcoms. They were staple in our household. So when I get this call to say, you know, do you want to be in Alolo? I was like, yeah, obviously I want to do that. So that was it. I didn't have to audition at all. And then, you know, the next thing I knew, this huge package arrived from the BBC with the full script in it, even though I'm only in just one scene. They sent the whole script, which I still have. It's at my parents' house. And, you know, so there was, you know, I grew up in a little village. And so there was, you know, gossip all around the village. Oh, did you know that, you know, he's got a package from the BBC? Oh, yeah, it's a script from Alolo. And it was, you know, everybody knew about it. And that was it. That was the only kind of, you know, I didn't do any kind of audition. I was just very, very lucky that my agent at the time had been offered the chance to cast these roles, and, you know, he asked me to do it because I was sort of the right age and fitted for it, and that was it. And, you know, it was a fantastic opportunity for, you know, which I love doing. I mean, it's in the final series, the episode I think is called René Artois Is Still Dead, and in the context of the bigger story, René, I think he's on the run from the Germans for some reason, and he's faked his own death, and is pretending to be the English police officer, or the English guy who pretends to be the French police officer, he's going around the village asking people for collections for a memorial to René Artois, and there's a big sort of procession for his funeral and everything, and of course he goes around the villagers and gets to us, and nobody gives him any money, and he gets to us, and then the three of us refuse to give any money, and then explain why we don't want to give any money, and we've each got our reasons, and very, very sort of dismissive of René, not, yeah, in the context of the story, not knowing, of course, that it's René pretending to be this guy, even though it's fairly obvious. And I think I said he was no friend of mine, you know, obviously in a cod French accent, which you have to do, and something about him watering his wine or something. Yeah, and we each had our own lines. And then, you know, the procession sort of carries on. And yeah, I remember it was a very, very big scene. The whole scene was quite a big one, and it was you know, all outside, and had a lot of the main cast there. So it was, you know, we had just sort of a, you know, a small section, sort of, you know, a minute or so. But I remember we filmed it, you know, met quite a few times, because there were three of us. There was Gordon Kay as well as René, and we each of us, you know, we had our own single shots for our lines, there were, you know, the wide shots and two shots. So we must have, I think we did it sort of 12, 15 times altogether, this bit. But of course, it just went by so quickly, and then it just, you know, we moved on to the next bit, and we were then, you know, back in the background with all the other sort of peasants and extras that were there. Our scene was completely on location. It was up at the main place in Norfolk, and I remember driving up there the night before. We stayed in a hotel, and then got taken to the set, and it's the one that they built of the village square. And you know, this is something I'd watched on TV for years, and then suddenly I'm there in this, you know, this village square, and it's great to, you know, whenever you're on a shoot and it's something that you're aware of and you've seen. There's the cafe, and there's the shop, and you know, there's the fountain in the middle of the square. And so the whole thing was outside, and you know, there were a lot of people there. There were a lot of extras, a big crew there, it was all just the exterior, the facades of all the buildings. So and in the grounds of this, some big manor, whose name I've forgotten, but they sort of built this set there. So you could, you know, in the distance, you could see the big manor house, but, you know, they sort of cordoned off probably the stable yards or something like that. I don't know exactly. So yeah, we shot everything. Was all outside all day. Luckily, the weather was good. It was sort of, I think, early September time when we did it, so the weather was good. But I do remember we had to wait because the sun came out and it was ruining the continuity, because it'd been cloudy and then the sun came out and we had to pause while the clouds came back. I had a really good experience doing this. Our little part of the scene was directly with Gordon Kay, who was playing Rene, pretending to be the policeman. And he was lovely. I remember when we had a little rehearsal, and then just before we actually shot our part, he sort of leant into the three of us. He didn't know who we were. We're just three people who turned up. And he said, two goldfish in a tank. One says to the other, "How do you drive this thing?" And I mean, it's a terrible joke, but it kind of really relaxed us, put us at ease. And, you know, and I thought it was a really lovely thing for him to do. He didn't have to do that. He was, you know, the star of the show. He was a big star in the country. I mean, he didn't need to do anything like that. We were nothing to him. But the fact that he did that just to kind of, you know, relax us into the scene, I think, you know, it was a really lovely gesture. Because it was a big parade, it was, you know, the funeral of René Artois, a lot of the main cast were there. So you had Vicky Michel, you had Silvera Carmen, Guy Siner, the other German guys, Kenneth Connor, I remember there, who, you know, my parents had, you know, loved Kenneth Connor from all the Carry On movies, and, you know, so chance that, you know, he was there. And so, I mean, it was a lot of the main cast were there. So I was very lucky that, you know, they were all there, and they were all just really lovely. I had, when we had the lunch break, I remember I walked onto the very glamorous dining bus, which, you know, where you eat on a film shoot, and I looked around and there was, you know, there wasn't anywhere to sit. And then, you know, Gordon Kay and Vicky Michel were sat on a table and they just said, "Oh, come and join us." And, you know, you'd on a lot of shoots, you wouldn't, there's no way that the star of the show would just let somebody like me come and sit next to them, somebody who just had, you know, two lines in one episode. They would, "No, come and join us." And we sat and, you know, I had lunch with them, and, you know, they were just lovely. And it was just, the whole thing was just, you know, really, really nice experience. And they're just a great bunch of people to work with. I always like the characters that have the catchphrases, the lines. Michelle's, "I shall say this only once," you know. I always like the, because you know they're going to say it, and that's kind of part of the gag, the on-running joke. But the one I think the one I really liked was Leclerc, because he was always in disguise, but his disguises were always terrible, and you always knew immediately that it was him. But he would always, at some point in the scene, he would then just go, "Hi, Leclerc," you know, as though it was some like great reveal. Because for him, in his mind, you know, he was in this fantastic disguise, and, you know, and I love that kind of, you know, that this line is coming, and it's just, at what point is he going to reveal to the other people that, you know, actually, no, it's me, Leclerc, when of course everybody knows that it's him to start with. So I always kind of like that naivety of him. And I actually spent a lot of time in France, and Leclerc is the name of a supermarket chain in France. And when I first saw it, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, no. It's just, every time I see a Leclerc supermarket, I just always think of Allo Allo, because it's just such an, you know, an unusual name. But yeah, I think I really liked him. I just like his naivety of it, you know, believing this world that he's created when it's complete nonsense. I'd grown up watching their series, the Croft and Perry mainly, but the Croft and Lloyd as well. And you know, as I say, our family watched every episode of Allo Allo. We watched it religiously. My parents loved it, and the fact that, I think actually my parents were more excited than I was in a way, because it was my parents' favorite TV show. And the fact that their son, you know, 20-year-old kid, was in this and had a scene with, you know, Gordon Kay, I mean, they absolutely adored it. And even now, doesn't matter what I do in my life, I will never achieve anything as great as having been in Allo Allo for my parents. That for them, that is the, I can't do anything better than that, because they loved it so much. I don't, I certainly, I don't think they may have been on set Croft and Lloyd? I don't think so. They certainly David Croft didn't direct this episode. He directed some early ones. He may have been on set. I don't know. But just a chance to actually a chance to read a whole script was lovely. You know, to have that sent through the post, even though I had just one scene, that was great to be able to just read their work, having watched it. And you know, I grew up watching all of their stuff. You know, we've always watched It Ain't Half Hopman. We always watched Are You Being Served? Dad's Army is still my father's favorite TV show. If it ever comes on TV now, he will watch it, even though he's seen every episode, you know, dozens and dozens of times. He will watch it because it's his favorite show. So that kind of humor has always been a part of my life. And so the chance to actually, albeit in a tiny, tiny, tiny way, to be a part of that is, you know, even now, you know, nearly 30 years ago, I still remember it fondly. And actually, whenever anybody, you know, finds out that I was in an episode of A Low, A Low, it doesn't matter what age they are, they always like, oh my God, you were in A Low, A Low. What did you, you know, people always really, you know, but they could look down the list of all the things that I've done as an actor and they'll pick out on A Low, A Low, because that's the one thing that everybody knows. And even abroad, in fact, I spoke to somebody a couple of days ago. She's from New Zealand and she knew about A Low, A Low, you know, and I kind of love the idea of being, as I say, albeit a tiny, tiny part, but a part of something that is so globally known and so recognised that, you know, it's great to just have the honour to be a part of something like that. One thing that I do remember is there are a lot of regular extras, supporting artists, who were there. And when we turned up, the three of us, of course, we were unknown. Nobody knew who we were. And we were dressed the same as all these, you know, a lot of these supporting artists. And I remember them sort of looking at us very suspiciously, because you know, I've done extra work many, many times. And it is like a little cabal. It's like a little clique, and they're very, very territorial. And I remember them, they spotted us, and then they would sort of, oh, they see Gordon. They go, oh, hello, Gordon, how are you? Or Kenneth, hello, Kenneth, how are you doing today? All this sort of thing to really kind of make known to us that it was their territory, that they were the regular extras, and that they were, you know, they'd been there for years and years and years, and that we were the outsiders. It was, they wouldn't, you know, really almost wouldn't talk to us. You know, we were left by ourselves. And then we were in the scene in the parade and whatever, the sort of wide shots that they did, and we just sort of mingled in. And then when I think it was the first assistant director said, oh, can we have our three speaking peasants? Suddenly all of these supporting artists were looking around to see who is it? Because when you do extra work, you crave the chance to have a line. You want to be in the scene. You want to say something. You want to be part of it, partly because you get extra money, but also because, you know, that's the status that you want to achieve as an extra. You want to have a line. And they all looked around, and suddenly the three of us stepped forward, and the looks that we got from the rest of the extras, it was absolutely filthy looks. It's like, how dare these people turn up and then have lines? And I genuinely overheard one of them a little later saying, well, I've been doing this for years. Why didn't I get a line? And it's like, well, it's kind of cast in a different way. It's, you know, if it's a scripted character, it's, you know, it has nothing to do with the extras. But that kind of, that almost that seething jealousy that the rest of the extras had at us, because we were these newcomers, we just turned up and we were the ones that had the lines, and you know, why couldn't they have the lines? And I understand, you know, if you've been doing it, you know, every year for 9 years, you'd been on set with these people, you know, you'd probably feel a little bit aggrieved that you weren't asked to do something. But it was very funny with the kind of the looks that we got. I wasn't, unfortunately. No, I would love to have. I mean, most of them, I would have been too young anyway. But the ones that came after A Low, A Low. So like Grace and Favour, for example, yes, I would have been, you know, age-wise, I would have been able to do that. But I never had the chance to do it again. And, you know, I would love to have done it. I would have thankfully done it. And actually, I wasn't supposed to do the A Low, A Low episode, because I was still at theatre school. I just finished my first year at theatre school. And one of the rules was that you weren't allowed to do any external work, certainly any paid work. And when I was offered, I thought, yeah, I've got to do it because it's A Low, A Low. I'm not going to, you know, not going to say no, but so I had to kind of keep it secret. And it was during the summer break, so it was okay, but I had to keep it secret and not mention it. But I would have loved to have done something else, because as I say, it was part of my childhood, their sitcoms. And you know, had I been, you know, 10 years older, 20 years older, then yeah, I would have loved to have been in any of them, you know, any of them, because I always, you know, always made me laugh. And, you know, I always loved the sitcoms. But yeah, there weren't many after Hello, Hello. And I was in the, say, the final series of it. So it's a shame. But I would have genuinely loved to have done more. Funny enough, I do get royalties still from this. Every year I'll get a check. It's not a lot. It's, you know, it's a few quid, but, you know, every year I get to have a few drinks or I get to go out for dinner, you know, because of something I did 30 years ago, nearly. And yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting that, you know, it's something like that, that you do get repeat money for it. It's, you know, 'cause you don't get it in theatre, you don't get it in film. But yeah, with TV, as I say, it's only a few quid every year, but it's interesting that, you know, I've had it because it was sold to some, you know, Croatia or something, or some DVD release or whatever. With it being on TV in the UK, a couple of years ago, I was at my parents with my wife and our daughter. And of course, an episode of Hello, Hello comes on the TV, just by chance, they flip the channels and it starts. And of course, my parents, oh, we'll watch this. And we get about 2 minutes into it. And I said, this is the episode I'm in. And of all of the series, of all the episodes, it just happened to be the one that I'm in when we sat down and, you know, just randomly switched the TV on. And I said, great. My daughter was sat there, was like, that's you? I was like, yeah, that's, you know, I told you I'd done this. But she didn't really sort of comprehend what it meant when I said I'd done this until it was suddenly on TV in front of her. And she was like, but that's you. I do get, you know, a little bit of royalties, but it's not so much the money in such. It's I like the idea that it's something that's gone around the world. I like the idea that even now, nearly 30 years later, people are still watching it, and it still makes people laugh. And that's, you know, that's all we can ask for. I'm not saying that I make people laugh in my scene, but the whole thing, it's lovely that it, you know, the different generations can watch it, and you know, and I hope it still lasts, and I hope it will continue to be shown around the world. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. And thank you for being interested, because it amazes me still that after all this time, people are still interested in it. Even, you know, something as tiny a part that I had, that people still want to talk about it and, you know, still want to get, you know, any kind of memories or anything they can from this, you know, iconic series. And it is an iconic series. And, you know, so it's an absolute pleasure to talk about it. And, you know, even though it was nearly 30 years ago, I still look back on it fondly, and I still remember that time, and because it was a, you know, a period of my life that I really enjoyed, and you know, it's happy memories that I'll always keep.